Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What is good, ladies and gentlemen of Traveler's Rest? It is fantastic to be out here today. You are listening to the most interactive sports radio show in the state of South Carolina. It is Offsides with Mark and Diesel, live on location at 1500 Gear Highway. I cannot tell you how many darn times I put Greer Highway into my GPS and it sent me the wrong way. But I finally found myself here. Alyssa is here from ESPN Upstate. Diesel is back in network command, and it is fantastic. We are going to be rolling on here between the hours of 3 and 7 p.m. today. So if you're driving by, if you're in the Greenville Travelers Rest area, we would love for you to come by and say hi. I mentioned this last week. Our last show with Ingles was in December. Our first show again with the new Furman football season was last week. And I am always completely and totally blown away by the fact that every single time we're out here, people come by, they make a special stop, they make time out of their day to come by and say hi. If you've lived and worked in different places as I have, let me just tell you how very rare that is. It is awesome, and you guys, it's part of what makes this place feel like home to me. Want to give a big ups to my main man, Rick, from Rick and Greer. Rick and Greer, who is already here today to check out the live show, was here before the show began. And he says to me, "Mark, who am I?" And I said, "You look really familiar, sir. I have seen you before, sir." And he helped me out. So Rick is here. He's got his Texan shirt on. I'm sure he agrees that the Texans should in no way, shape, or form trade Deshaun Watson. He's got his Texas Longhorns hat on. By the way, tomorrow at 3:20, we will check in with Taylor Estes, 24/7 Sports and Horns 24/7, to get an update on how Steve Sarkisian is rolling on here today. All right, here is how you guys can be a part of the show. You can give us a call at 1-844-477-3776. That number again is 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. The text line is there for you at 71307. Just put ESPN in the body of your text and then rock that sexy body. You can get to us via Twitter, at Diesel on Radio, at ESPN Upstate, at Mark Ryan on Air, that's at M-A-R-C Ryan on Air, and finally email. You guys can email the show, Mark Ryan, M-A-R-C Ryan, at ESPNUpstate.com. All of the different ways you can be in touch with us here on the most interactive sports radio show in the upstate of South Carolina. I also want to mention to you that the Rob Brown Show will be stopping by here today at 4 p.m. For a couple. So he's going to hang with us for a couple here today. We look forward to that as well. Diesel, can I get an amen for the weather that we have gotten the last 24 hours, my man? This is why people come to the upstate. This right here.
Amen, and enjoy it. If you're out and about this afternoon, stop by a park, get some sunshine on your face, because you know what? I looked at the forecast, 8 straight days of rain starting tomorrow.
No.
Yeah. 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 If you're a boat builder, business is good right now. We are reaching biblical levels of rain in the past 2 weeks.
If you're a fisherman, how is that?
Not good, because I don't want to be out in the rain either. But enjoy this while you can, people. You don't know how good you got it.
No, this has been amazing, man. This has been absolutely positively amazing. By the way, big thanks to Diesel and Rob Brown yesterday. And this happens to me, ladies and gentlemen, every single time there's a serious weather change. I got hit with the sinus funk yesterday, and I just felt lousy. And I come to find out from engaging with a lot of you guys, the same thing happened to a lot of you yesterday. Every single time the weather changes like this, I'm in some kind of bad way. So Rob Brown pinch hit very last minute. And he did a fantastic job, and so Rob Brown was on the air for 6.5 hours yesterday. He'll be stopping by today at 4 p.m. So big thanks to Rob, and big thanks to Diesel for holding down the fort as well. Hate to give people last minute notice, but I just when it was a game time decision for me yesterday, and when my number was called, there was nothing in the tank. There was nothing in the tank at all. So wonderful to be here with you guys today. A jam-packed show. One of the things I want to get to on the show today is I want to let you guys know. I've been to the state of North Carolina a couple of times recently, okay? And I just pick up that there is a vibe in the state of North Carolina. I just kind of pick it up. Right? You guys sense a vibe when you're in the room. You sense a vibe when you're in the room, right? There's a positive vibe. There's a negative vibe. You can kind of feel the temperature of the room. I just kind of pick up that there's a vibe in the state of North Carolina that they feel like they're better than South Carolina. It's just kind of a vibe it's just kind of a feel that you detect in the air. It's very similar. You guys know I moved here from Houston. It's very similar to the vibe between Dallas and Houston. You know, the people in Houston call the people in Dallas snobs. The people in Dallas say, well, yeah, we're white collar, you're blue collar. And they really don't like each other. And for the first time in the last month, I am picking up that vibe. So we're going to have a little North Carolina versus South Carolina here on the show this afternoon. All right? But I do want to open with this. Ladies and gentlemen, Mel Kiper Jr. has released his most recent mock draft. And this is a mock draft that has there's some intel involved in this particular mock draft. I'm just going to read to you the top 10, and then I would love to get your take. I would love to get your reaction. Number one, TL16, Trevor Lawrence to the Jacksonville Jaguars. With a second overall pick, the Falcons have been involved in a trade with the Jets. They move up from 4-2 to select Zach Wilson, quarterback BYU. Number three could be Jamar Chase, but Mel Kiper Jr. says Heisman Trophy winner Devontae Smith from Alabama. Number four overall pick, now to the Jets. Oh, my goodness gracious, man. The best tight end prospect of the last 50 years, Kyle Pitts. Tight end, University of Florida. The number five overall selection, Penei Sewell, the outstanding tackle from the University of Oregon. He would go to the Bengals. The Eagles pick at six. They're going with Jamar Chase, wide receiver, LSU. At number seven, the 49ers move into the seventh spot, and they're going to grab Justin Fields, quarterback out of The Ohio State University. I'm going to skip over the Panthers temporarily to tell you that the Patriots have moved up to number nine to take Trey Lance, quarterback out of North Dakota State. And then finally, with the number 10 overall pick, the Dallas Cowboys have selected Patrick Surtain II, cornerback out of Alabama. Now, here's where this gets very, 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 very interesting to me. With the number 8 overall selection in the Mel Kiper Jr. mock draft, your Carolina Panthers select Mac Jones, quarterback, Alabama. Now look, everybody always says drafts are crapshoots, right? Everybody always says that. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. If you go back and you look at the last 10 years of first-round quarterbacks, you'll find that 15 out of 25 of them have busted. I set the bar at bust as being a solid starter. If you achieve that, you're not a bust. First round pick, 15 out of 25 the last 10 years have failed to achieve that. And I'm not here to hate on Mac Jones, all right? But I will tell you this. Desperation is generally not a good look. When was the last time you fell for somebody who threw themselves at you? When was the last time that happened? Oh, yeah, on the first of never. Yet that seems to be where the Carolina Panthers are today in regards to their quarterback position. Tell me why. Just a few short weeks ago, word surfaced that Matt Rhule and company had offered their number 8 overall selection and more for 33-year-old and damaged goods Matt Stafford. Come again? And today, Mel Kiper Jr. has them taking Alabama quarterback Mac Jones in that same number 8 slot. They are macking on Jones hard. What's the problem, you ask? Mac Jones is graded as a late first, early second round pick. And he's projected to the Panthers today at 8, based on intel that Mel Kiper Jr. has gleaned from throughout the league. Now, why, oh, why, oh, why would Mac Jones be projected to the Panthers at 8? Very, very easy. Matt Rhule coached Mac Jones' side at the Senior Bowl. There's your answer. There's the why. Word is spreading like wildfire around the NFL that Matt Rhule fell in love with Mac Jones at that time. And you look at the physique Mac Jones compared to every other quarterback, doesn't have it. Then again, neither did Tom Brady when he entered the National Football League. But they say that desperate times call for desperate measures. I'm just not sure why Panthers brass feels the situation is so desperate. I don't get it. I don't fully understand what seems to be a panicking sense of urgency. Patience, Grasshopper. Patience. I'm Mark Ryan, and I approve this message. I want to get the very latest from one of the preeminent draft experts in the nation. All right? So, Luke Easterling of USA Today Sports is going to join us immediately on the flip side here on Offsides with Mark and Diesel live on location at Ingles Markets, representing the Ingles SoCon Conference at 1500 Gear Highway in Traveler's Rest. We are Offsides on ESPN Upstate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The text line is buzzing early and often today. Absolutely love that. Thank you guys so much. I will get to those in the very, very next segment. But joining us right now on the show is somebody who is really a great American story. I'm not lying to you here. I want him to share his story with you today before we get to kind of the draft talk. Luke Easterling has now been a longtime friend of mine. We met when I was working in Tampa. This was back in 2013 and 2014. And he was coming on my show then, and I was like, good God, this guy is way better than his Twitter following at that time would indicate, right? I'm like, man, this guy's going to be discovered, and it's gonna, like, every single time we have him on, the content is top-notch. You know how I feel about Josh Pate, and now Josh Pate is blowing up? I had the same feeling about Luke Easterling years later, right? And during the time that we've had Josh Pate on the show, his Twitter following has grown from 2,000 to 12,000. So, in any case, Luke Easterling from USA Today Sports, the Draft Wire, and the Bucks Wire, he is still beside himself at the Buccaneers Super Bowl victory with delight. Luke Easterling joins us right now on Offsides ESPN Upstate. Luke, always great to have you on the show, my brother. Can you just tell our audience, I know there are aspiring sports media types listening right now, and I'd love for them to hear your version of the Luke Easterling story.
I mean, first of all, check's in the mail, buddy. I feel like this. I'm going to keep coming on your show just for the ego boost at this point.
There you go. Sure.
It feels nice to be reminded of the climb, right? I appreciate it. I know it's you know, I hope it can encourage people, right? I mean, where I am now was born in a library computer lab when I was 14 years old, making the ugliest football blog you've ever seen that nobody read. Just because I had a passion for doing this. I played the sport in high school, but, you know, it didn't take a whole lot to realize that probably wasn't going to be how I made my money growing up. It was probably not as good for my brain either. But, you know, it was just something I was always passionate about. I come from a family of writers. My mom's a writer and a teacher. My brother writes the Halo video games for anybody who likes to play those.
So I didn't know that.
Sports and football. Yeah,
my brother's way cooler than I am.
He does. When people find out on Twitter, you know, that they follow me for sports, and then they find out who Jeff, my brother, is, they're like, oh, never mind. Yeah, your brother's cooler than you are, which I'm used to, dating back a long time. But, it's something that, you know, it boils down to I've just always loved doing this for so much. And long before anybody ever read or cared what I thought about it, I think everybody who really succeeds at something that they believe in, you know, it starts with that love of what you're doing. Because if you're willing to do it for nobody, that's what will sustain you. If it becomes your career and it becomes your job. So I've just been so lucky and so blessed to have so many opportunities to, as I've worked my way kind of up the ladder, I guess, and had different opportunities at different outlets. I've been with Bleacher Report. I worked at the Tampa Tribune. That's kind of where I cut my teeth right out of high school. I got a great, foot in the door job there, just, answering phones in the newsroom when I was 18 years old. Made so many wonderful relationships with all the reporters there and really got to see real journalism being done, not just in sports, but in every beat and every area of journalism for a newspaper of that stature. I went to school at USF for a little while and slowly started to piece together what sports journalism was moving towards and the digital world that we were about to be launched into in terms of that. And I was just really lucky and really blessed. I feel like, who you know is what gets you in the door, but what you know and how well you can do it is what keeps you there. And I've tried to sharpen both of those edges of that sword along the way and make sure that once I do get an opportunity, and there's so many people who have afforded me those opportunities, that once I get there, I can earn my keep. And, thankfully, I've done it to this point. I hope it continues. I love my job right now. It's a dream job for me getting to cover the draft and the Bucks and double dip, my two favorite things to write about and talk about in the world. And I hope I get to do this for a long time, man.
Luke Easterling, you can follow him on Twitter at Luke Easterling, and you can read his work, draftwire.usatoday.com. All right, Luke, enough of the pleasantries. Put up your dukes. Give me the Luke Easterling top six quarterbacks in the 2021 NFL Draft.
Top six, it's Trevor Lawrence, still easy for me at number one. You know, whatever conversation you're hearing about who else should be ahead of him, I've said this on Twitter already, it feels a lot like the conversation people had about Mitch Trubisky going ahead of Deshaun Watson. I feel like Deshaun Watson was so good for so long that people got fatigued with how good he was, to the point where he ended up not being the first quarterback taken in that draft, and he absolutely should have been. I think, obviously, we didn't really see Patrick Mahomes doing what he's doing, so he would be the first quarterback off the board. But in terms of that conversation with Mitchell Trubisky going to the Bears after a trade-up, I think Chicago fans would definitely want to redo on that one in a couple different directions. But as it relates to Trevor Lawrence, that's why he's still number one for me. He will stay number one for me. I think some of that conversation also applies to my number two guy, Justin Fields. I feel like people are starting to poke holes in his game that aren't really there when you really watch the tape and really look at it. And he's still solidly at number two for me. After that's where we see Zach Wilson from BYU. I know we've heard a lot of talk, a lot of rumors that he may be, you know, some team's favorite quarterback in this draft. I understand how, you know, why teams would like him and what he brings to the table, but he's just not, that doesn't have the full body of work, doesn't have the consistency against, especially against top teams, that I would like to see from a guy that I would have to put above guys like Lawrence and Fields. You know, after that, it's Trey Lance from North Dakota State, really the wild card at quarterback in this draft. Not a lot to work with in terms of film, and all of it was against, you know, FCS competition. But, man, the athletic ability, the tools, the arm talent is just off the charts with that kid. So he could end up easily being the best of the bunch down the road. We've seen that kind of happen with Josh Allen, the way, how raw he was coming out of Wyoming. But, you know, given some time, he's become one of the better quarterbacks in the league. And then after that, it's Mac Jones from Alabama. Nothing really to write home about as an athlete, you know, in terms of his, you know, ability to make plays outside the pocket. He's kind of a throwback in that way, more of a pocket passer. Not a huge arm, but very accurate passer. Great decision maker. That's something I know a lot of coaches in the NFL are going to really like in his game. After that, we've got Kyle Trask from Florida, Jamie Newman from Georgia / Wake Forest. He was at Wake Forest, transferred to Georgia, but never actually played a game there. You know, there are tiers to this group. Those top four guys are clear cut to me, that, you know, they're the top of the shelf there, and they should all be gone in the top 10, maybe even the top 8 picks. Hint, hint at Carolina there. But there's a big drop off there. I think Mac Jones is a distant fifth to that group, and I think after Mac Jones and between him and Trask and then Newman, I think there's another big, big drop off there to where Jones should be probably a mid first round pick, and then I wouldn't really consider either of those other guys until, you know, at some point on day two.
So let's talk about Mac Jones, because in Mel Kiper Jr.'s mock draft release today, he's going to Carolina with the 8th overall pick. The scent I'm picking up from Carolina, honestly, Luke, is desperation at the quarterback position. When you consider what they were going to offer for Matt Stafford, that they would have lost the number 8 pick if Detroit had simply accepted their offer. And now Mac Jones, you just called him a mid first round pick guy. I've seen him late first round pick. I've seen him early second round pick as well. And because Matt Rhule coached him at the Senior Bowl, they fell in love with him. If Carolina selects Mac Jones with the number 8 overall pick, good pick, bad pick for you?
Well, now I'll clarify this a little bit. When I said he was a mid first round pick, that's kind of what. That's adding the positional overvalue of the quarterback, right?
Okay.
In today's NFL, you don't evaluate quarterbacks in a vacuum like you would just a random prospect, right? The fact that they play quarterback and if you succeed at that position gives you such an importance that you're probably going to take a guy who might have a second-round grade. You have to take him in the first round because quarterback's just that important. He's not going to last till the second round. So just for, you know, comparison's sake, I just came out with my updated overall rankings. He's number 46. Right now, in terms of where I see him in relation to the rest of this class. So that kind of gives you an idea of how I feel about taking that guy in the top 10. And again, it's not that he can't be a successful quarterback at the next level. It's just that if I'm taking a quarterback in the top 10, because in most mock drafts you'll see right now, you might not see a defensive player in the top 10 right now. That's how talented this draft class is with those top four quarterbacks. with some of the offensive weapons that they have in this class, you know, offensive line, we may not see a defensive player taken in the top 10. And so if you're talking about getting maybe the best defensive player in the draft, regardless of position at number 8, you're talking about maybe getting a guy like Kyle Pitts, a tight end, wide receiver, weapon for whoever you have throwing the ball. You're talking about maybe getting an offensive tackle to help whoever that quarterback is going to be. There's so many options in terms of elite talent that you're probably going to get at number 8. To take the 5th best quarterback at number 8 overall, just, I mean, again, and a guy I barely have as a top 50 prospect in this draft right now, like I said, he can be a successful quarterback at the next level, but if I'm spending a top 10 pick on a guy, no matter what the position, I've got to get a guy that I think has all-pro, Pro Bowl, top of his position, maybe not Hall of Fame potential, but the, you know, maybe if I'm picking him in the top 10, right, I got to get that kind of return on a guy. And you're right, it does reek of desperation, the fact that I would, you know, see a team take the 5th best quarterback in the draft, 5th best player at any position in the draft over anybody else that's going to drop. Because say they're in the position that they have to do that because 4 quarterbacks have gone in the top 7. That's only 3 other guys off the board at every other position, and that's driving talent all the way down the board at you. Obviously, you have to have a quarterback to compete in this league. I'm not saying that they don't. But, man, it just feels like a huge reach at that point to take a guy who, yes, had a huge season at Alabama. Yes, DeVonta Smith evidently said he would take him over to a Tagovailoa, which, again, you can't really blame the guy because you got to pick a quarterback that just helped you win the Heisman Trophy, right? But I just, in terms of his upside, and I hate that term sometimes because every prospect has some of it, right? But physical tools, the athleticism, he does not bring those things to the table that make you think, man, I've got a really special player at this important position. It makes you think, man, this guy can get the job done if we have the right pieces around him, maybe. But I just don't think, if you're picking number 8, you're not the type of team that's built to succeed by adding just a above average quarterback.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, being a quarterback at Alabama presents the reverse problem for a guy like Carson Wentz, for a guy like Trey Lance. The team is so good around you that I don't trust what I see you doing. I don't trust what because it's you know, boys to men is who they're playing every single week, right? Against Alabama competition. But I would say this on Mac Jones, Luke. You know, Tom Brady had better than advertised accuracy when he came out of Michigan. We didn't know how accurate he actually was. And his leadership and his work ethic overcame the unimpressive body picture that everyone shows from his combine. Do you see similarities there to where Tom Brady was coming out of school and what Mac Jones brings to the table?
Here's what I'll say about that. If your sentence or whatever you're about to justify your pick with starts with, yeah, but Tom Brady, please stop. Because, yeah, Tom Brady. Of course Tom Brady. But he's just the one. Like, if you're really, after spending that much time, if you exhausted all your resources into figuring out if Mac Jones has whatever that special, ridiculous thing that Tom Brady has within his soul that has made him the greatest quarterback in history, in my opinion, if you think he's got that, by all means, spend the 8th pick on him, and it would still be a steal if he ends up being that guy. My only caveat is there's only ever been one guy like that, and we have 256 picks every year, and we haven't found another one in 21 years. So I just don't feel like that's a good bet. Yes, you can draw comparisons between the fact that he has, you know, not, you know, like you said, the athletic skills aren't there, kind of like with Brady, and there are lots of reasons why Brady wasn't picked until the 6th round, right? You know, we can make that argument and say, see, you know, we've learned from that. We know how to prioritize these things. But, man, I feel like what makes Tom Brady special and what has made him special is something that you absolutely – cannot quantify in any way in the pre-draft process, because if you could, we would not be here. We would not be having this conversation. Teams would be much better at this. You can't do that. You can't measure what makes Tom Brady who he is. And again, we've only seen one of them in 20-something years. I don't know if Mac Jones can be that guy, but I feel like the probability says he's not going to be that guy.
What I think about Trevor Lawrence, Luke, is that I value Deshaun Watson above him, and I always have. Now, I think worst-case scenario for Trevor is like a Matt Stafford, Philip Rivers type. But I think there's a high likelihood that that's where he'll end up. Do you see him in the Matt Stafford, Philip Rivers class, or much better than that?
I mean, I first of all would classify that as a Philip Rivers is a Hall of Famer, so that's not too bad.
I don't know. I don't know.
I think he'll get there whether you like it or not. Is what I'm saying. Is he can be that
I don't
type
like
of player.
It.
And if he's anywhere in that. If he's anywhere in that, well, I don't like that about Roethlisberger or Manning either, but they're going to go. So we just need to start resigning ourselves to that right now. But my point is if you can have a career as long and as productive as those guys have with that pick, I think that's a win. I think that's a huge pick. Now, can you reconcile that with the fact that he's been touted since his freshman season when he did what he did, especially ending that year with the performance against Alabama in the title game? We've already created this expectation of him that if he's not Peyton Manning, he's, you know, selling himself short, right? He didn't live up to it. And again, we go back to the Tom Brady conversation. It's not a fair comparison to anyone. Yes, you can compare, you know, I guess across your, you know, if you have a certain grading scale and you can say, hey, he is the greatest quarterback prospect we've ever scouted. Yeah, sure, you can say that, but nobody should ever expect any quarterback to do what Peyton Manning has done, what Tom Brady has done, because it's just so unique. If you get that guy, that's a bonus, and you definitely draft a guy like Trevor Lawrence because you think he's capable of doing that. But, again, he can have a career that's as productive as Matthew Stafford, but if he does it for a team that surrounds him with a bit better defense or other, you know, pieces around him, he can probably win a lot more games and have some playoff trips and go win some championships, maybe, unlike what Matt Stafford had to deal with in Detroit. And then Philip Rivers was highly successful in San Diego for a long time and then took to the Colts to the playoffs in his 1 year. So I don't feel like that's a bad comparison. And if he hits that, I don't think that that's really falling short of what realistic expectations should be for anybody. If your expectation for any prospect is that they'll be one of the unicorns of the sport in its history, I feel like you're already setting yourself up for failure.
Luke Easterling joining us here on the show. Let's close on Justin Fields today, Luke. You know, like you touched on earlier in the interview, I feel like his greatness is kind of being picked apart. What he does, I think he does very well. I'm curious how you feel about the floor and the ceiling for Justin Fields. Do you see any Deshaun Watson in him?
I mean, first of all, I'll say, you know, what I think some people consider the elephant in the room, and it's that I think in the media we treat black quarterbacks differently. We have for a long time. We criticize them differently. The narratives that develop.
Why do you think
the
that is?
Process and this,
why? Why do we do that?
I don't have a better answer than racism. I don't.
Okay.
Like, it's just
okay.
Plain and simple.
Yeah.
I don't really know how else to say it. Maybe that sounds shocking to some people, but I don't know how else to put it. That's my only explanation. I don't know why otherwise, because if you just look at the football and go back to Deshaun Watson, go back to Lamar Jackson, go back to these conversations that we have every year, Mark, it's the same narrative. It's the same thing, and I feel like that continues to happen only with quarterbacks who look like they do, and I think that's wrong, and I think we have to pay attention to it in order to stop doing it. So the more people I feel like come out and will at least point to it and say, hey, that's what's happening here, I feel like that's the only thing that's going to move us past it. In terms of his football, and this is why that's the only answer for me in a lot of ways, is because if you look at the football, nothing else makes sense. You know, I wrote about this when I was, and you know this, I was so gung-ho on Lamar Jackson coming out.
Yes.
That, you know, I pointed to all of the flaws in the other quarterbacks and how differently they were narrated as opposed to, you know, Lamar Jackson. I viewed Lamar Jackson's athleticism as what put him ahead of the group, because sure, he had flaws as a passer in certain ways, but so did everybody else in that class, and nobody seemed to use those to disqualify them from being the number one overall pick. And why I wrote in that December that he should be the number one quarterback in that draft and the number one pick overall. That's what I said then. I believed it because every quarterback had flaws, but he was the only one who I felt like was being told, you can't succeed at this position. And there was only one other attribute that didn't apply to those other quarterbacks. You know what I'm saying? So it's really hard for me to not look at that and say that that's the only reason, because I just can't find anything else, especially football related, for it to be caused by.
Luke Easterling does a fantastic job covering the NFL draft, covering the world champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Draft Wire, at the Bucks Wire. Follow him on Twitter at Luke Easterling. Check out his work, draftwire.usatoday.com. Luke, I brought the heat today, man, and you hit the fastball. So thank you so much, man. Always great to catch up with you.
Hey, it's always a good time, Mark. Thanks, buddy.
You got it. All right, Luke Easterling, USA Today, one of the best draft guys in the entire country, ladies and gentlemen. All right, on the text line, one of you has challenged me. Another one of you has said has said something really, really interesting about Trevor Lawrence. I'll share that with you next, right here on Offsides. Mark and Diesel, ESPN Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, let's see here. We check on the text line, and you guys have been blowing it up. I love it. Absolutely love it. You can give us a call at 1-844-477-3776. You can, of course, get to us on the text line, 71307. Just start your text with the word ESPN, and away you go. Mark, carrying on from the Rob Brown Show, if you were going to kidnap Diesel, how would you do it? Okay, well, let's establish one thing. No amount of force by me is going to successfully kidnap Diesel, okay? So if I was going to kidnap Diesel, I would have to get him a pink velvet liqueur that he loves, and I'm probably butchering the name of that liqueur, but I know that he loves it, and I would probably have to get him feeling great on that liqueur, okay? Then what I would do is I would throw his ass in the back of a pickup truck with a couple Rottweilers, all right? And then when Diesel awoke from his pink velvet liqueur-induced stupor, he would be so intimidated by the two Rottweilers that he wouldn't dare escape. I've nailed this, haven't I, Diesel?
You couldn't move me. I am a Mack truck. You are a Prius.
I don't appreciate that very much, Diesel.
So when my body goes limp, there's no way that you are getting me anywhere.
Thank you.
Not without a forklift.
Well, maybe I'll have one. We'll see. Let's see here. Mark, Rob tried to rename Diesel Zoe yesterday for your information.
He tried four times.
It sounds like there's a story there, Diesel.
Well, yeah. So we had the we had our web streamer up so that we could see each other face to face.
Okay.
During the show, we weren't actually streaming the show. It was sort of an off-air thing that we could sort of watch each other and sort of wave when we got a point. But it says the Zoe in the corner. So he kept reading Lonzo's name and he kept calling me Lonzo. And because he's now 2 months-ish deep of talking and tossing to Lonzo on the show. But, you know, I saw the Lonzo on the corner of the screen and I suggested that he's not the Lonzo. He's a Lonzo. Because there's already Lonzo Ball, and Lonzo Ball is more famous than ESPN Upstate's Lonzo.
Absolutely.
And there's nothing wrong with that. The dude is an NBA superstar. So he's not the Lonzo. He's a Lonzo, just like we've established that school in Columbus is not the Ohio State. They're an Ohio State University.
Well,
there's plenty of state universities in Ohio, making the one in Columbus an Ohio State University.
Boy, it's amazing how those Ohio State fans want to claim the for everything.
Right.
As though they're the only one of all the above. It's amazing how that happens. Let me see here, Mark. I guess perception is South Carolina's more blue-collar to North Carolina's white-collar. In reality, it's about even. It's just that the Clemson people have no collar, no... It's just that the Clemson people have no collar, no sleeves, and wear jorts. Ladies and gentlemen, I am merely the messenger here. I am not the person behind these comments, all right? I just want you to know. I am like Ron Burgundy in Anchorman. I will read what is ever on the teleprompter, all right? Let's see here. Texter says, Mark, Mac Jones had better wide receivers at Bama than he will have at Carolina. I would concur. Texter says, I always thought Gear Highway was just a spelling mistake on Google Maps. Same. I'm like, oh, somebody forgot the R. Isn't that cute? No, not at all. I learned that today. There is no such thing as Greer Highway. Who knew? Texter says, that's my problem with Trevor, Mark. Guy has been clutch in exactly one game. In every single game, the guy is surrounded by NFL talent. Well, not so much last year, honestly. Both Mac Jones and T-Loser, ouch, are overrated. Clemson fans, you guys are getting beaten up today. Yeah, you guys have no collar, you just wear jorts, and now T-Law is T-Loser? You guys aren't going to stand for that here, are you? Texter says, what a moronic comment from such a smart man in Luke. Luke, please don't do that. You are better educated than that. Why are we more critical of African-American quarterbacks? Luke said racism. Ha, 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 ha. Texter says, glad you're back and feeling better. The boys and I missed you yesterday. Oh, Diesel, this is our friend who stopped by last week with his 6-year-old and 4-year-old, and it was so good to meet them. Hope you guys are doing great, man. It was awesome to meet you. We're at Traveler's Rest, Ingalls, until 7 p.m. if you want to stop by today. Texter says, U of SC has the best basketball team that money can buy. Boy, if that's what you're getting for your money, I'm asking for a refund. I don't know about you. If that's what you're getting, all right, I'm sorry. I'm not down. I'm not feeling it in any way, shape, or form. An update on J.J. Watt comes your way next. Live on location from Ingalls Markets in beautiful Traveler's Rest, this is Offsides with Mark and Diesel on ESPN Upstate. All right, so in the last segment, Diesel said that if he were a car, he would be a Mack truck, and I would be a Prius. All right? Now, I have a slight objection to this, and I want to ask you guys which is more accurate. You guys have seen me. You guys have seen Diesel. Okay? Is it more accurate to say that Diesel is a Mack truck and I am a Prius? Or is it more accurate to say that I am a Camry and he is a minivan? I'm just curious where you guys come out on that. Alyssa is here with us, and she's like, oh, God, Mark, don't put me on the spot on this. Alyssa has seen both Diesel and I. So, Alyssa, by a show of hand, can I get your opinion? Is Diesel and I as vehicles, is it more Mack truck for him and Prius for me, or is it more Camry for me and minivan for him? She says Camry and minivan. Diesel's, where in the L?
How much did you pay her to give that answer?
Very well, Diesel. Very, very well. paid her handsomely. Thank you very much, Alyssa. Your check is in the mail. Thank you so very much. Okay, so J.J. Watt is choosing that he's down to three teams. And what is blowing people's socks right off about this is the money that is being thrown at one J.J. Watt. He was expected to fetch $9 to $12 million a year. He's getting people are throwing $15 to $18 million a year at one J.J. Watt. He is down to now three teams: the Bills, the Packers, and the Titans. The Bills, the Packers, and the Titans. I will rank these right now on behalf of J.J. Watt. Here you go: Packers, Bills, Titans. 1, 2, 3. The Titans are, in my opinion, are never going to be a true Super Bowl contender if Ryan Tannehill's the quarterback. J.J. Watt, we can debate where Buffalo is, right? But as long as Pat Mahomes is in KC, I think they are far and away, at best, the number two in the AFC, right? And we saw in the championship game, the AFC championship game, they're nowhere close. The Packers, to me, are by far his best bet. Michael Collins covers the Bulldogs for FanSided. We're going to get a Georgia Bulldogs update when we come up next. Are the natives getting restless with one Kirby Smart? Live on location from Ingles in Traveler's Rest, it's Offsides.